Good morning.
Good morning.
There's the boss man. There's the other. Yeah. So he did used to look better, huh? He did used to look better, you said? I have a hard time believing that. The look any better than this? Really? About 3,500 years ago. She sent me a text last night, a joke. The middle light on, the middle light on.
The beauty and the beast.
Good morning, everyone. How y'all doing this morning?
Great.
Good to see you back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good to be here. You know, in the pamphlet, it's got everyone is special, because I kind of believe everybody's special in Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one out there. You want me to run and go get it for you? We'll wait on her. They stop and giving hugs. Huh? Yeah, so it's okay. It's all right. So. Yeah. Yeah. That's a song about that, you know. Waiting on a woman. It is. Can't think of the guy's name right now. Sings it. Well, let's open with prayer. Dear Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit in here today, and we just ask for your message to be done and your will be served in this church and your vision as we move forward of how we serve you in this community and the world as Christians, that we represent you as your children the way you would have us represent you, just like your son did when he walked on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we got weekly announcements coming up. We got a few. Boom, boom, boom. Bible study, anything? She asked me and I forgot where we, where did we leave off at?
Middle of chapter 9.
Hebrews 9, I knew that. I couldn't remember where we left off at. So, boom, 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 boom. And that next week, be here. We won't have a service that week. It'll be a business meeting for the church, and you'll get some facts about how the church is doing financially, and new people are going to be voted into the church council, and it just how we're operating as a church and what the future is going to look like, and just basic business meeting. And then, of course, the 17th will be our church council meeting for all your council members. Then food and fellowship there. Boom, boom, boom. This is birthday and anniversary, and inside of here, you should have got a copy of a whose birthdays and anniversary inside your pamphlet here.
Great idea.
Huh?
Great idea.
You know, inside of here, and you say, well, I can't, I see the name, but I don't know how to get in touch with them. Well, back there on the table is one of these. So if you get one of these, you can, you know, get up and send them a card or whatever you want to do, if it's someone. So, and boom, 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 we got that. Wedding anniversary there, and got Bob and Nita. Where's Nita? Oh, she's in the back. But anyway, so welcome them, you know, tell them good. And well, how long? They've been together for a long time, I know that. So, boom, boom, boom. And the Good Samaritan badge. right by the back here as you step out in the little plastic thing, the bags are there. The form is hanging up on the wall. Just take it down, fill it out, what bag you got, your name, your information, and hang it back up. So the bags for the Good Samaritan House that they do, they're right here in the plastic holder that holds all the pamphlets and stuff. And the form to fill out there is right beside it. You know, you can write down what bag you got and who you were and that kind of.
What are we supposed to do with it?
You put money in it. Anytime you come into a church and they give you a bag, they want you to put groceries or money in it. I hate to say that, but it's one of the two. They say, we got you a bag. They want money or groceries, one of the two. You can... So, unfortunately, I mean, I guess not unfortunately, but that, you know, that's, it's a fundraiser to try to get the Good Samaritan House built out there in Ponderay. They had purchased the land. I don't know. I've heard several different times when they're going to break ground, so I don't have a clue. I do know that they're supposed to get the land, I think, cleaned off this spring, you know, get all the trees and stuff down. Yeah, something like that. So I really don't know. I don't keep up with it much on what's going on. I got enough to keep up with. They got other people that keep up with that, thank God. So, and of course... Just a minute. This way, if anyone's out there on YouTube, they can hear it.
Oh, yeah. So for Bonner Partners in Care, we rely on donations from the community, as well as we also receive foundation grants to fund us to help care for the people without insurance. So we haven't been able to do it for 2 years, but on March 25th, we actually get our Schweitzer Ski Day back, where ski tickets are only $20 for the entire day, but all of the proceeds will be split between us and another nonprofit. They said it was for CCC, and I'm not sure which one that is. But anyway, this is a huge moneymaker for our clinic. So big, easy ski day, $20 for the entire day, and we get half of the proceeds. March 25th.
I'll give you $40 if I don't have to come and ski.
You can also donate. If you go to our website, it's actually bpicc.org. There is a PayPal donation spot where if you would rather just donate that way,
yeah,
you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
We take donations all year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, they don't really have any announcement this morning. She's going to have a bunch next week, I believe she said. But the IM board out there, she mentioned that as you go by. It's by, as you go by to the women's bathroom. And it's just a board I believe she put up. And I'm probably spelling it wrong, and she'll correct me next week and tell you right. But it's I am. What am I in God? Or I am. I am this. I am that. So if you want to write your name on there, it's for the kids, but for the adults, you know, that I am this or I am that in God. I think that's the ideal, and if I got it wrong, don't worry, she'll fix it at a later date. They, boom, 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 boom. So they're going to be splitting this up with and start using my office, and then next week I've got a new TV for in the office for the 6th grade class, and this week that me and Brett's going to clean that office out and mount the TV where they can kind of start using that office, because I don't need that much space, you know, and they can start kind of use it and let the little kids be in one room and then let the bigger kids be in the other room to kind of, so that'll be good. Okay, boom, 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 there we go there, and here is been working on this with other pastors for about 2-3 months now, and actually we're going to host it for them for the first meeting for them to explain how this works. And what this is really about is churches are going to try to partner and put a Christian initiative for children, and different churches probably once a month will host something, and have some ideals and stuff. So I really don't know all the details yet because they've not had a meeting yet. And they finally have got some different churches that are, and we're just going to host them this on the 10th and let them come in and use our facilities. And we'll be there. I'll be there. And we'll sit and talk about and see what the future's like. You know, they did ask us that being so close to the school, would we consider maybe hosting something once a month, you know? And of course, I said, yeah, I think we would be, and especially with our youth program starting and stuff. So that'll be a good resource, you know? So they just want to get, there's so much.
Is this just for the pastors?
What?
This hosting Christian school?
Yes. It's just the pastors are getting together with the other churches. And a couple of, I think one of the youth pastors from the head church that's trying to do this will be there. But it's just in baby steps. We're just now, this is the first time, this is the ideal that has been discussed several times in the pastor's luncheon. And now this is just going to kind of be the first time it's actually discussed to get it off the ground and what that would look like. You know, so it's just in the baby steps. Actually, I was talking to our, I don't know how many hats does she wear back there, but, and she said that's something she'd be interested once we get going on our Sunday school and youth minister. You know, we got to give, she does so much work, we got to give her some kind of title. I don't know, some official title. But she said she'd be interested in coming and just listening once a month when they do it, meet it. So it's just the ideal. There's so much stuff going on in this community that introduces our children to the values of the world. And hardly nothing in this community that's introducing our children to Christ. You know, And it's not about that church or this church or that church or these people down the road. It's about if we all agree on Jesus, can we just rally around Jesus? And even though you have maybe a little different theological background than I do, can we just not split hairs there and focus on Christ? And how can we get the concept that there's a loving Christ that paid for their salvation, and it's a way to be in this world and walk in a peace that they don't know from this world. So that's the ideal, you know.
Yeah.
So, boom, boom. I will be bringing a bag next week. How that works is the kids will bring a toy or something from home, put it in a bag. I'll reach in, I'll pull it out, whatever toy I pick out or whatever they put in there. And I'll have to explain to the kids where I think it came from, and then they will correct me. And then if I get it wrong, then they get a treat or something from me. So, you know, they get a card to go get ice cream or a toy or something like that. So I did that over at the Methodist Church when I was over there for a little while, and I gave a lot of toys away. So anyway, we got one other thing before we do that I didn't get to. And it's on me. I forgot to tell her, but these here last week, got 10 of these for you guys that wouldn't hear. This is we want to put something together now that the youth program is off the ground and kind of going, and we want to put something together for our elders in the church. So we just did a survey last week and was in here. I just asked you to mark yes or no. Do you think it's a good idea? We got 10 back and we got 10 yeses. Not one no. So, yeah, hot stuff. Okay. So, you guys fill these out. You know who you are. So start thinking about what you want and what that would look like and how we can put that together and get that off the ground for, you know, I do know that a youth program in the future, once we get this off the ground, is wanting to maybe do a movie time out at the theater and have when a good movie comes in, it's kind of Christian based, or, you know, or host some movie and have maybe a youth take a elder from the church to the movie and sit with them and watch the movie together and eat popcorn and stuff and build that relationship. Because you guys have all this history of God. And you have so much to give these children.
And these, we have to take a kid.
Yeah, well, the kid take you. You know, the kid, however, but, and then pass that information on to them, you know, where that when that little kid walks in there, that's not just some adult, you know, in the church. That's Miss Beth Ann. That's Miss Joanne. That's, you know, that's Mr. Dennis. You know, that's Mr. Osborne. You know, that you're not just some person in the church. It's an adult that you may get in trouble with if you don't do right. You're an individual that loves and cares about them, and they know that. And if they have a problem, they can turn to you. And that's the ideal behind this. So, and of course, whatever you guys want to do. So that's about it. Meet and greet now. Tell somebody that they love you, that you love them, that God loves you. You love yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
You
having fun yet?
Huh?
Are you having fun?
Yes, I am. Ma'am?
Can I see one of those papers that people filled out?
Yeah. Here's one that hadn't been filled out. It's just a check, yes or no.
What?
It's just, well, just the ideal. It's going to be a program, you know. I think they really misrepresented in a lot of ways, Tom. And
but like, if you were Catholic, I can't do communion with you because I'm not Catholic.
Yeah.
Christ frowns on that.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
nobody should block the blood of Christ.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
That's their belief, right?
Yeah, here's the thing on that, what I found out, is wherever you have man, you're going to have a misinterpreting God. And the longer they've been around, the more missing. Between you and your, you know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Boom, 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 boom. So is these the two worship songs? Yeah, okay. So she don't have a mic back there right now, but
I'm right here.
No, I said a microphone back there. Yeah, I didn't say a Micah. I'm going to cut that off right there. But Beth Ann requested two worship song, and she was Audrey was looking and trying to find it, and she found a new version and the old version. So we're going to have two songs, but it's going to be the same song played both ways.
No, so
no? Yeah.
It was kind of muffled, but what I was getting at was whenever I went to go find the song that Miss Bethann wanted, it hit me pretty hard because one of the songs that she requested is a golden hymnal.
Yeah.
And so once I started hearing this, I got really excited and did the whole wife thing where I smacked Audie, and God, really, I don't know why I would do that. But
yeah. They just put new music to it, right?
Yeah.
But the older version you're saying is not available?
It's not available because we don't have the right stuff on it. There's a certain loop and hoops you got to jump through. And plus, it's just like a recording, like what we're doing live right now.
Yeah.
That's what kind of music it is. It wouldn't have any lyrics on it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be clear.
Okay. All right. So you were just showing them two to me.
I was just showing them two, and I was just extra. I just got really excited.
So we're doing one song or two?
But
they're different. All right, see?
These two songs, and one of them is an old hymnal, and then one of them is the new version of Miss Bethann.
Okay. Okie dokie. We probably gave you too much information. We'll stop that.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh, and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carry my sins far away, rising he just freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day.
so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Testimony time. I know one person's got a testimony, but is there anybody else?
Hello. For those who don't know me, my name is Tammy Polonick, and I should have said this many months ago, but I'm kind of shy. Anyway, last March, my husband and I lost our young son, Cody, and I guess there was a blessing in losing him, was that we met Pastor Hollis and his lovely wife, Kathy. And going through the Grief Share program, I think, was a life sharing. It saved us a lot. I really encourage anybody who's going through trauma of a death of a loved one to go to that if it's available. And then through that, through this lovely couple, we started attending this church, and now we have a great church family. And I just want to thank all of you. I don't know who, I'm sure there's been a lot of prayers for us going through this trauma, but I just thank God and I praise Him that we have found a great minister team and a lovely, lovely church family. So I should have said this many months ago, but I just want to thank you all.
We love you too.
And I say better late than never. I don't like being late like I was today, but there are reasons, and God knows them.
I'm pretty sure that everybody knows me, but I'm Audrey. In December, we decided that we were going to step in and start helping. Started off with a children's play. And then it started off, and then it, we settled down and started to run the worship team. And are you turning that down?
No.
I don't want it really loud. We're still working out the kinks. Anyhow, I've been learning how to do the slideshow up here and the music and trying to get everybody's information on. And I got really excited this last week, and so I called Pastor Hollis, and I said, you have to come over and see what I've done for the church, because I absolutely love the information I've put up there and the songs. And I was to the moon. I mean, I could just feel the Holy Spirit just flowing inside me, and I had got it done on Monday. So Friday. I told him, I said, you need to come over and see this, because it's been eating me alive since Monday. It's all I could think about. So basically all week long, I'd been praising God right in my head. You know, I can't wait to show the church and this wonderful stuff. So Pastor Hollis comes over and fixes our dryer. By the way, thank you. That's a blessing in itself. And we sit down on my couch and we're going through the slides and we are just picking it apart piece by piece. Just, and you can always feel the Spirit moving whenever you're praising the Lord and you're excited about the church growing with the youth group and the announcements. And now we have the senior program. So for a good about 30 to 45 minutes, we're praising the Lord and we're loving it. And then my daughter asked if I could take her friend home. And I was in the mood. I was super happy because we just got done. I showed him the slideshow and we were just flowing with the Holy Spirit. And I drove up to Winco to drop him off. And mind you, it had been snowing all day and it was pretty nasty out. On my way down Winco Loop, I lost control of my vehicle and I went off a 10-foot embankment. And immediately I knew because my brakes were grinding, it was just still sliding out of the control. But right when I hit the embankment, it was like an overwhelming calmness. And I had gotten every single emotion sucked right out of my body. And fear and endangerment meant nothing to me at the time. Naturally, my body was shaking. But once I had finally hit the snowbank from the road, I was trying to search through my phone and I was shaking and I couldn't think straight. And I heard, calm down. There's nothing wrong with you. Everything's fine. Do what you need to do. And so I called Adi and I said, hey. And he's like, hey, what's up? And I said, I don't really know. And he goes, well, are you hurt? Or what? Where are you at? And I said, I just went off the 10-foot embankment, which obviously I didn't know it was 10 foot at the time. It felt like 4 feet. But all in all, my vehicle is fine. I don't have a single scratch on my body. And the entire time, God was right there saying, calm down, everything's fine. There's no broken bones, no broken windows. We go pick up the Jeep today, and it's almost as if nothing happened. And I just wanted to tell you that no matter what you do, as soon as you get on the right road with God, the devil is going to attack. And the only thing that I could hear was, you have no power here. You've got nothing. We're, as much as our church, every single Sunday, there's a new face or someone who's not been here for a while. And then whenever last Sunday the computer was going nuts, I haven't been here very long. So, of course, I mean, I wouldn't expect everybody to, oh, no, and then run to my safety. But Miss Sue, I'm sure she saw deer in the headlight look. And I looked over at her like, my heart was like just torn into pieces, and she got up and ran over here, and she just completely soaked me up in her love. And I was like, ah, it's such an amazing church to be a part of, because we may be little, but we speak so loudly and we love so tenderly. So that's my testimony. We had a very great blessing, and it's all because I'm on the right track.
Anyone else? Yes, Ben Fan. And it was, and that car was up on its side.
I was gonna post the pictures up there, but yeah. I didn't have enough time.
But it moved up on its side, up on the driver's side down the embankment.
I was searching for something in the scriptures the other day, and I happened to remember a saying that I liked, and I looked it up, and it was Isaiah 61:3, and Gaither made a song of it, but I liked the words in King James Bible for what it says, and it said that he will bless those that mourn. Mourning is when you're sorry for whatever. You didn't pay enough attention to that person or your past life. And so he says, I will give them beauty for ashes, a crown of beauty for ashes. And the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be a tree planted, tree of righteousness planted by the Lord, that he might be glorified. And I shared that with a friend of mine who's been suffering cancer for years and years and years. And she just brightened up to the point where she said, where's the scripture? And which book was it in?
And I told her it was the King James Version. I didn't care for the other ones. They whited it out, something like some of the new songs. But they whited out a lot of the meaning to me. But anyway, that and her testimony and here I am teaching too. So, hey, don't give up, folks. It just gets better from here.
Thank you, Beth.
Isaiah 61:1.
I can see it in your eyes.
So my testimony this week is, I guess, a couple things. I'm very grateful for my wife. She's an amazing lady, and she's really worked hard to get the children's ministry program in place and moving. And you guys should see her. She's up to like 9 or 10 o'clock at night just putting stuff together twice a week, right? So it's like, it's a lot for her. Regardless, so there's that. And then plus she owns her own business, and she works full-time for a corporation, right, Bank of America. So it's like she's got a lot on her plate. But so regardless, I'm very grateful for her, and, you know, still finds time for my family. And then the second thing is, this last week, I finally feel like I'm making progress with my back after kind of being stalemated for a really long time. And so I'm super grateful for that. I even kind of pushed the limits and did quite a bit yesterday. And this morning I woke up and I'm not super sore, tender. And I'm not saying that's going to be every day, right? It's something I got to battle. But regardless, I'm thankful for it. So.
You? How did I know? It's on. Just talk.
Just talk. Well, they don't have to see me. They can just hear me. This is more to the guys here in the room. If you've read the last chapter of Proverbs, you know that it talks about this incredible woman that runs a place, runs a household, does all these amazing things. And I've looked around in this congregation, and I think the guys here all have one of those ladies in their life, and we are blessed.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Brother Osborne.
Yeah, I felt more like preaching, but I think this is what the Lord wants me to tell you. I'm really impressed about Mary Magdalene in the Bible, her love for Christ, and also Christ's love for her. You know, when Jesus was slain, they put him in a tomb. His body was there. A couple women, one Mary Magdalene, told disciples, his body's gone now. We don't know where it's at. Well, they come, they check it everything out, and then go on their own way. But Mary Magdalene stays there. Her life is drastically changed because Christ had cast 7 devils out of her and totally got her back on the right path. And there's no way she wanted to leave Christ at all. There's no way she didn't want. He was her life. All the truth he spoke was meaningful. I mean, it was, her life was extremes, and she wanted to stay with him. But now he was gone. Well, she was in the garden, and that time of year, it's kind of like spring is here. It's not warm. You know, she's still in the garden. It's not comfortable. She's out there. She's been there since early, and she just stays there because that's the last place that she saw Jesus, and something's not quite right there. Everybody else goes home, but she stays. A real loyal lady. You don't fight too many people that are that loyal. Anyway, she sees somebody she thinks is the guard and says, tell me where you've taken the body and I'll take care of it from there. And the gardener speaks and says, Mary, of course it's Jesus. She says, it is I. And she's shocked, like, he's in his glorified body now, a little bit different. but she's shocked and she's also happy at the same time. But the thing is, now Jesus, in this point of time, he's gone and preached to people in hell. He's come back, he's resurrected, but he has not gone to the Father as high priest. And that's what he's got to do next. That's next on the agenda. And he's going to appear to his disciples later on that same day. So anyway, she wants to hug him and embrace him and grab him. She said, "No, don't touch me, Mary, for I have not ascended to my Father." In other words, he didn't touch the high priest when he was supposed to go into the Holy of Holies, which is what Jesus was about to do. And he's taking his own blood there. If somebody touches the high priest, then he's impure. He isn't sanctified. So she said, "No, Mary, don't touch me. I have not ascended to my Father." But look, he took the time in his schedule between things to show up to Mary because he loved her, and she knew she was wandering and seeking him and seeking and couldn't figure out what was going on. He took the time to be there and go there and prove his love once again. And then he ascended to the Holy of Holies, presented his own blood to the Father so that every man could approach God directly. And then he showed up in the evening to his disciples in a closed room. They thought it was ghostly. They're all shook up. A ghost. No, it is I. And handle me, touch me, touch my wounds if you need to. Give me something to eat, I'll prove to you I'm not a ghost. I'm he. He's risen. He's real. Mm-hmm. He loves us that much. He's there. Praise his name.
Thank you, Brother Osborne. See, I see what's going to happen here. I'm going to get this right where come Sunday I won't even have to do any service. I'll just do everything else. Boy, my job's going to get easy. God is working in here, and when the Holy Spirit is in here working, yeah. Yeah. You know, you don't need me or anyone like me, right? That's a good thing. Great stories have been told and testimony to glorify God here this morning. He's a real awesome, loving God. It's time for our offerings. Brother Mike, Brother Dennis, would you please come up? Y'all sit up front, so y'all kind of close. So I just... God. Dear Lord, we just ask you, as it's money, as we raise it today and take it back in, and we give back to you what you freely gave into us, that as the body we will use these funds to glorify you and your Son and all things in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm going to be using a scripture that we don't have up. God just put it in my head, so I can't help it. When I get to the sermon, he just told me something. So, all right. She likes to have the scriptures up, and a scripture just popped in my head. And I had to check and make sure that I was thinking right. It's time for the Osborne's hymn, 424, correct? Huh? Oh, I thought she said 26. I was like, darn.
Is this the right one for you? Okay. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Praise his name.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, whoever did clap, good deal. Where's our children at? All the little children. Dear Lord, bless this money that we're taking in. Come and get them. Colton? Oh, he's... Come on. Don't count. There you go, buddy. Here, I'm gonna give you some. Come here, baby. There you go. Basket to go get some. Thank you, baby. $3? All right. See, he said $3 too. Thank you, baby. Okay. Thank you, baby. So it's that time that I have to do some talking, so or some preaching or some sharing. I will tell you something. I'm the guy that goes the first of every month and takes the change to the bank and get it, turn over in cash to give to our treasury. And the donations has went up. These little kids have been working y'all pretty good. It went up. The lady takes the bag in the back and puts it in the counting machine, and she came back and she said, "Oh, it's $119." And I'm like, "Do what?" Because I have a little hearing problem, And I'm like, "What did you say?" So it went up like about $30, So it's amazing. Kids just jerk at the heart, and you want to just give, take your pockets and say, "Take it all, take it all." Yeah. And they enjoy it so much. So this morning we're going to be in 1 John 5, 1 through 12. And we're going to look at this and take a little different approach. I hope that... it comes out the way God put it in here. And Osborne, will you read our scriptures for us, please?
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves his Son as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it's the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
So what is John talking about here? John is here in 8 talking about the Holy Spirit, water, and blood. Point John is trying to make is, from when Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, and from that point to the blood of the cross, and he was in his ministry, that the Holy Spirit spoke the truth through him, and he kept his Father's commandments. And what popped in my brain a minute ago was Matthew 5:17-20. In Matthew 5:17-20, you can look it up afterwards in church. Christ made it clear that he did not come to abolish the law, but he came to uphold the law, to honor the law. The day and the time is Christians You know, we think we have Christ, and the Ten Commandments don't apply to us. But they do. The only thing that's changed is we no longer can work our way to the Father by keeping the law and the Ten Commandments. But the Ten Commandments is still, and this is the thing that we're talking about here today and what we're getting at. You see, Christ kept the law. He lived the perfect life. The whole time he was here, he didn't break one commandment. Us as human was impossible to uphold all the commandments. Sooner or later, we would trip, we would fall, we would do whatever. So as Christians, when we go in and we get baptized, we make that commitment to be baptized like Christ was baptized. We're accepting Christ's way of life. And then we come up here and we take communion. We're accepting the blood that was paid for on the cross to cover our sins. So now, and how does the Holy Spirit speak? It speaks through a life that has been transformed, that has been changed. And then the commandments start living out in my life. Not through my will, not through my work, but through Christ. Now through Him, accepting Him as my Lord and Savior, what I could not do before, keep the law, some way or another, I am able to walk in the law. I'm able to walk in the law now. And why is that? I think about my neighbor's car. Boy, it's a really nice car. And I look across there, and Satan pops in my heart and say, boy, you sure deserve a car like that. And then I start coveting my neighbor's property. Before, I might be condemned to live in that commandment and breaking it. Now, I can summon Christ into my life and say, remove this, my Lord and Savior. Move this from my heart. Move this bitterness from my heart. Change my heart. I re-accept you today. I'm calling your holiness into me. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come in. Remove this from me. Instead of me having envy for my neighbor's new car, give me to have joy for him having the new car. And something happens that I transform and my heart changes. You know. Or I get envy of someone's position in somewhere, you know, that I want to be that because he's that or she's that, you know, and I start wanting to do that. So it's important for us to seek to live out the commandments and understand the Ten Commandments and realize it can be fulfilled through Christ. But God expects us to keep the law. How many times did they use the word commandments here? One, two, three. See two there, the commandments there. And what are they called? The ten what? Commandments. So God is now asking us to reapproach the Ten Commandments, His law, live a life. Because you look at the Ten Commandments, anyone that lives that, them commandments out and don't break them, you're righteous, you're holy, and you're Holy Spirit. So we're not here to abolish the law. We're not here to say the commandments have no value because we have Christ now. Because down here, in 10, it makes it clear. If you do, what are you doing? You're making God out to be a liar. They're literally saying if you take these commandments and you dismiss them as Christians today and time, because a lot of people, and I don't know if they know this or not, but Jesus Christ was not a Christian. And people don't know that. It amazes me that. Jesus Christ was a Jew. He was a faithful Jew. He practiced Judaism. And he knew what he was doing as a Jew. Jesus was just the beginning for us, mostly Paul, if the truth to be known, were Christianity for. What we call Christianity today, we can thank Paul for the most of it. You know, he was the one that was constantly laying the footwork down. You know, not saying any other disciples didn't improve it, but he was, I mean, once he met Jesus on the road, and after he got the skeletons or whatever fell from his eyes, you know, he got busy. Paul got busy about going about doing God's work and wanting it spread and making sure that it was spread. So for the day, we can't dismiss the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments. They're God's law. God would make God a liar. It would make him a liar if we say God no longer really cares about these commandments. If you got Jesus, he does care. He cares about these commandments because they are behaviors towards him and towards fellow man. That's what they are. And not only their behaviors, they are holy behaviors towards him and fellow man. So if the Ten Commandments, this behavior is not important anymore, then we're saying that God said, you know, I don't really want you to honor me anymore. You know, because you got Jesus. All I can do is just put my head in the cloud and I got Jesus. You know, yeah, we got Jesus, but you got to understand who Jesus is. And Jesus is not this magic wand God that touches you on the head and makes everything better because you think you got Jesus. You have to have that honor, that respect for his Father that he has. I mean, right here in 11 and in 12, I mean, it really makes it real simple. You know, those that have Jesus and accepts Jesus as the Son of God, they have life, and those that don't does not have life. So what life are they talking about? They're not talking about life on this earth. We're talking about eternal life back with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's easy to be bitter and resentful, jealous, covet what my neighbor has. But I'm saying to you that if you do that and you're claiming to be a Christian, those are not acts of the Holy Spirit speaking out in your life, telling the truth. And that's what John is saying here. He's saying from the water to the blood, and spoke the truth. We take testimony as a man, but the testimony of God is more important. And in Jesus' life, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth through his actions. Not so much what he taught, but what he did on a daily basis. This proof of being baptized and the Father speaking as he was baptized, him hanging on the cross and the heavens rumbling and the Father reacting to it and the sky, the proof. And between those two points, when his ministry starts, Jesus' whole life, the Holy Spirit, through his actions, spoke the truth because he was constantly walking in righteousness. And it was nothing the world could do to take that righteousness away from him. It was nothing Satan could do. At 40 days and 40 nights out in the wilderness or the desert, couldn't take it away from him. It was nothing the Roman government could do to take it from him. It was nothing that the Jewish leaders could do to take it from him. Nothing, anyone, or anything in this world could take that righteousness from us. And when he hung on that cross and died, and when they spit upon him and beat him and whooped him, he would not surrender his righteousness in his Father. They wasn't trying to break the physical man here. And we lose that. That they were not trying to break the physical man. They were trying to get the love of God and the God in him to abandon the physical man. And him surrender that up. And turn. And then become just like me and you. So now, do that they were not able to break him. They were not able to break the holiness and the righteousness in him. Me and you have an opportunity to be holy and righteous again. And our life will tell the story. Doesn't matter how many times I get baptized. Doesn't matter how many times I come up here and accept the blood of Christ, my life will tell the story if I'm righteous or not. The Holy Spirit will speak it out. And if I'm not living a life that's telling the story of righteousness, I confess the water. I said I accepted the blood. But my life is not bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit speaking it out. Now, can we do it by ourselves? No. And will we fall and stumble? No. Yes, we will. But we won't fall and stumble. That every time I do, it's an amazing thing that we have, amazing tool. But false pride gets in the way. I'll get caught up in self-will and false pride and ego and all that junk and this world stuff, and someone will mess up and pat me on the back and say, "That a boy," and that little devil in my head will get running and I'll stumble and fall. And Mama told me not to run. I was going to fall and skin my elbows. Christ told me don't run in self-will. You're going to fall and skin your spiritual elbows. And I do that. But today I have a tool that when Satan pushes me down in my self-will and get me to run on the side of that hill that I know that I get going too fast down, and I do it every time and I fall. Just like when I run to Mama and say, "Look at my elbows. Yeah, I'm on it. Put something on it, Mama." And jump up and down, spin around in circles and all that stuff I did when I was a kid. I crawl back to the foot of the cross. And I say, "Lord, I got baptized and I claimed your righteousness in the water. And I got down here on my knees and I took the holy sacraments and I took the communion and I claim to confess your life through the blood. But here I am again in self-will. And I'm re-surrendering at the cross. And my Lord and Savior says, my blood is still here, my son. I'm still covering it. tomorrow's a new day. You get a new opportunity to walk in righteousness with me. Go tomorrow and do better. That's the grace of Christ. And what is grace? Something that I do not deserve. Something that I do not deserve. And no matter how many times I fall in the flesh, as long as I am willing to resurrender that to Christ and say, here's your child again. I wanted to do good, Father. I had good intentions. We know what road is paved with good intentions. But somewhere or another, Satan tricked me into self-will and out of your will. And I'm right here just as broken as I ever was in this one problem that I keep stumbling on. You know, one of my biggest stumbling blocks for a year was, and I never got it. See, Satan is not stupid. Satan is not stupid. And my big claim to fame with God was, between me and him was, and it's about mine and his relationship, not what the authorities in the church think. God knows the truth. Christ said he would judge us by our heart, not what the man around me says about me, good or bad. But my big thing always was, is my good claim to fame was, not right now. That was my two big answers to God. Not right now or anything but that. Anytime God put something on my heart, and I knew it come from God, I'd say, oh, not right now, God. Just, I can't do that right now, God. Or anything but that, God, are you sure you know what you're doing, God? I mean, I say that to God. You know, that's just how, you know. And I promise you, nothing brings Satan more pleasure than have a self-claimed Christian constantly telling God, not right now. Because he knows this life on this earth is temporary. And he knows that the life that God wants to give you is forever. And he knows that if you live long enough, and if he can keep you in, not right now, Lord. I can't do it, not right now. I want to do it, but I can't, not right now. He knows it's only a matter of time that physical death on this earth will come for you. You will die in that not right now. And he just turned that not right now into a no to God. Because there's no days left to tell God, not right now. And your not right now just turned into a no. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, that almost sent me to hell. I ran from God, and being behind here and studying the Word and preaching His love, for years, not right now, God. You know, after my wife died, I had two kids to raise by myself. I had a call in and I said, I got two kids to raise by myself, God. It's too much on me, not right now. So there's always a good reason why I tell God, not right now. That I can't quite live in your commandments. I can't quite measure up what you want me to measure up to. And thank God I was broken. Thank God I was broken, and I was curled up in a doorway of a church with a set of rosaries that came from, and I'm sitting there and I'm praying and I'm saying, God, just let this pain end. You know, that I just can't do this anymore this way. And I came to with the sun shining on my face and a voice spoke in my head. And you can call me crazy if you want to. I don't really care. And it said, are you ready to do what I told you now, son? And I was like, oh, yes, sir, I am. And I left there and went the next day and went to two pastor's friends that I knew and called them both and said, look, I need to talk to you guys. And four of us got together, and two of them, I said, I think God has called me to be a minister, and I don't know what to do, and will you please help me, because I'm confused, and I'm scared, I'm afraid, and I'm afraid of failure, and I don't think that I measure up and stuff like that. And two of them said, I already know that. And the other two, all four, said, we'll help you. So that's my message today. Keep your commandments. God, Christ kept them. Why wouldn't we keep them? Through him. And if God's putting something on your heart, no matter where you're at in your life, please don't say not right now. Because I believe hell is full of people that walk right out of this physical life and they're not right now. Because see, in my mind, that's not disobedience. Satan tries to twist it in my mind that that's not disobedience to the Lord. You're not really saying no. You're just saying not right now. Or give me more information. I need to know everything before I do it. No, all I need to know is you told me to do it. The details, I don't need to know. How it's going to play out on Thursday, I don't need to know. If I'm walking with you on Monday, when we get to Thursday, he'll let me know. So when you accept that baptism, when you accept that blood from the cross to cover up your sins, look the person in the mirror on a regular basis and ask that person the question, am I living a life that the Holy Spirit is speaking those two truths? The proof of the baptism in the blood of the Lamb. Is my life, is the Holy Spirit working through me and speaking those two truths? And if it's not, something ain't right in here, not up there. It's an inside job. If it ain't working right, I have no farther to look than the mirror. The problem would lies in me and my self-will. That's my message for the day. Thank you for letting me come and preach and share my love of Christ. I believe we have a worship song coming up. Thank you. Was coughing. All right. So anywhere on the prayer left, and I didn't want to cough for it. I got, are you better?
I go in for surgery Wednesday to have
the tone. Yeah. So we want to pray for that.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's not one of them surgeries like you can go into and not come back out of, is it?
Excuse me?
You know, some of the...
Yeah.
I mean, some surgeries, they say, you know, we're going to take this tumor out, but you may not make it through it. It's not one of those kind of surgeries, right? No, okay. All right. I mean, there are different. You know, they're just going to move it, and you're going to be okay and come home and just be sore for a little while. But let's pray that that goes, you know. So that happened to my sister. She went in for a brain tumor, cancer on her brain, and she didn't make it. You know, so, I mean, it's, you know, so, I mean, they said, and they told her that, you know, so that there's no guarantees, but, you know, so, how you doing? You know, I don't know, I'm not no doctor. That's why I'm asking questions. That's how I learn stuff, by asking questions. My mama told me the only stupid question was an unasked question, so... That's how I learned stuff, by asking questions. I don't know, maybe something could happen and they could have said, you know, we're going to take this, but you might lose your leg. Well, that's not good. You know? How are you doing? Yeah?
I'm doing good.
With your eyes and stuff?
Oldest grandson.
Oldest grandson.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I keep trying to tell you folks, I'm not the Rockefellers. I'm pretty. So you, what you see is what you get. You know, there's no smoke and mirrors here. Yeah, I ain't like trying to trick y'all and then I'm going to show up one day and be, oh, where did he come from? No, he's going to be the same all the time, pretty much so. Anyone else got any prayer requests? Are y'all going back to Seattle in a little while?
We're going to go back to Seattle on Friday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We go back.
Okay.
And turtles.
And turtles, yeah.
Yeah, so we went back and he does have active arthritis in his
So we're just praying that the Lord will make clear what method is going to be best for him.
Yes.
Anyone else? Ms. Bethann?
I have Connie face down in my break room. She's recovering from an eye surgery. And I just ask God to heal her quickly. It's difficult to sit all day long with her face down and to sleep all night face down. Mm-hmm. And she's had a lot of discomfort. So... Anyway, I think he has to do this for 7 days.
Yeah, I don't sound fun. Anyone else?
My son, who recently got married within the last year, has a stepdaughter that came to them. She's 14? 14 with suicidal thoughts. And I told my son, I said, positive part that she came to you and your wife, which is his mom, with her fears that she was having these thoughts. So they did a 72-hour lockdown, and you know, got her some help. She's on some medication now. She seems to be doing really well. She quit her cheerleading. She's like a 4.2, you know, really good student, but had to give up a few things. But she has friends. She has girlfriends.
It's really hard.
It's a terrible age.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's more important for us to get the love of Christ out there, because these kids today and time, I mean, I look at them and I hear that of children. You hear that a lot from children. But, you know, in the world that they're living in, that constantly all they ever hear is it's nothing in the world worth living for. It's all going to Sam Hill in a handbasket. What's the use? I mean, I could say, well, what am I even here for?
My son's a believer. His wife's kind of on the fence.
Yeah.
A little bit. And so the daughter's, at this point, the daughter's a non-believer.
Yeah.
So she needs
that. Yeah. You know, so that's sad. Anyone else? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just lift each and every one of these prayer requests up to you and these people up to you. And we just ask you to move in their heart and give them the strength and courage to do what they need to do. Bring the love to them to help them heal in their moment of emotional and spiritual and psychological pain. And we just ask that you move in their life in these situations that they're going in through where they can find you in it and realize even though it may be difficult, the peace in you makes any trials and tribulations worth walking through on this earth. In your holy Son's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for coming.